Father, we come before you, and we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, my prayer this morning is that you would speak through me, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would speak through me your message you have for this church at this time. Lord, it has been a blessing to go through your word. It's been a blessing to go through the book of Revelation. And let us not forget, Lord, as we go through this book is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And he is what it's all about, Lord. So thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to study your word together. I pray that for the next 40 minutes or so, Lord, we could listen attentively and allow you to speak through your word to us. Thank you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we started Revelation 13. We got through two verses last week. And so, spoiler alert, this chapter is about this coming future world leader named the Antichrist, okay? And so last week, if you weren't here, I recommend you go on the website, get the teaching. But just as kind of a quick overview, we went into the book of Daniel to show that at some point in the future, there's going to be 10 nations that are going to rise up. And from those 10 nations, there's going to be a leader, the Antichrist. He's going to subdue three of them. And he's going to be risen up and become the world leader for the whole world. Now, the thing about him is he's going to present himself as a Messiah-like figure. And so we know from the scripture that the nation of Israel as of today, still rejects Jesus as their Messiah. Now, does that mean that Jewish people can't get saved? No, there are Jews who have gotten saved. They've recognized that Jesus is their Messiah. But as a nation overall, they have rejected Jesus as their Messiah. And so what they're going to do is they're going to receive this man as their Messiah. And as we've talked about, as we've gone through Revelation, and in particular Revelation 11, at some point, the third temple is going to be built in Jerusalem, and they're going to reinstate worship. And about halfway through the seven-year period, the Antichrist is going to go into the temple, tell everyone to stop worshiping, and have them worship him as God. We call that the abomination of desolation. That's in the scripture as well. And so last week, we mainly covered just about this being risen up from these nations, these 10 nations that this world leader is going to come. And so we're going to back up to verse 1, and then we're going to pick up in verse 3 where we left off last week. And so Revelation 13, 1 says this, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea," and we talked about the fact that the sea is a picture of the nations of the world, "and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea," and the Antichrist is called the beast. The word for beast in the Greek is therion. It just means a wild animal, a dangerous animal. And the reason he's called a beast is due to his unrighteous character and the violence of his actions. Okay? We go on. "Having seen seven heads, 10 horns, and on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name." Verse 2, "Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard." Now, we covered this last week. That's allusion to Daniel chapter 7. "His feet were like the feet of a bear." So when it says he was like a leopard, that means he was fast, okay? "Feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon," now let me ask you a question for you guys who've been paying attention. Who is the dragon?
Satan.
"So, and the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority." Now, who is the Antichrist? Well, we don't know who he is, okay? No one knows who he is. So if somebody tells you they know who the Antichrist is, they're not telling you the truth because they don't know. We don't know who he is, okay? And I said this last week. For those of you who are more seasoned saints like myself who are older, you've probably heard over the years that Bill Clinton was the Antichrist, that George W. Bush was the Antichrist, that President Obama's the Antichrist, that Donald Trump's the Antichrist, that Joe Biden's the Antichrist. How many guys have ever heard that, okay? They're not the Antichrist, all right? I literally had somebody tell me when we were over at the center that Trump was the Antichrist. I said, okay. Anyway, they're not the Antichrist. We really don't know who he is, okay? But here's the point. We believe in this church. We believe in something called the pre-tribulational rapture. And so before God pours out his wrath on Christ rejecting earth, part of that is going to be this Antichrist rising up. So we believe that we will be removed before this. Because here's the thing. If we're still here during this whole period, what do you think we're going to do? We're going to say that that's not Jesus Christ. That's the Messiah. That's the Antichrist. So we have to be removed from here before this. Now, we pick up here in verse 3. And it says, I saw one of his heads, that's this beast, the Antichrist, as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Now, this is interesting because what is it talking about here? There is a lot of speculation. There is a lot of opinion. And like I said, as we've gone through this book, I will give you my opinion, so take that for what it's worth, okay? You don't have to agree with me. Go home and study it for yourself. However, what I think is happening here is that this Antichrist, this world leader, is going to come on the scene, and there's going to be some kind of assassination attempt on his life. And basically, it's going to be the situation where he's going to be wounded, and he's going to, quote-unquote, resurrect again. It's going to be like a false resurrection. I don't believe it's a real resurrection because Satan can't resurrect somebody from the dead. Only God can. So keep that in mind. Now, you say, well, how could that happen? I don't know how that's going to happen exactly. But I will say this. You guys are all aware of AI, right? Oh, make sure you come next week. We're going to talk about AI next week. It's going to be well worth your while, trust me. So he could use AI, he could do something, but see, you have to remember something. Satan is known as a deceiver, isn't he? He's a deceiver, and he's a counterfeiter. He can't create things, but he can counterfeit what God does. And so when we look at this chapter, he's going to talk about this first beast, which is the Antichrist. He's, if you will, the false Christ, right? Then you have Satan himself. He's the false God, in a sense. And then next week, we're going to learn about the false prophet, who's like the false Holy Spirit. See, Satan can't do what God does. He has to counterfeit it. But he is a great deceiver. So how exactly this is going to happen, I'm not sure. I plan on not being here to see this. Now, one place I want us to turn. Oh, no, here we go. Turn to Zechariah chapter 11. Zechariah chapter 11. Left-hand turn. So go all the way to the book of Matthew, then go to the left, Malachi, then Zechariah. So Zechariah chapter 11. We're going to be in one verse, Zechariah, because it gives commentary on this verse, Zechariah 11, verse 17. It says this, woe to the worthless shepherd, they're talking about the Antichrist, talking about the beast here, who leaves the flock. And listen to what it says here, a sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm shall completely wither and his right eye shall be totally blinded. So, something is going to happen. Like I said, it could be a assassination attempt. I'm not really sure, but something's going to happen to this beast, to this world leader, that's going to mortally wound him, and the world's going to look on, and then all of a sudden he's going to rise, in a sense, and he's going to be okay. And see, here's the thing about us humans. We love a comeback story, don't we? Oh, yeah, we do. Think about that. You know, and one of the discussions I got in last week after last week's sermon was, listen, we are primed and ready to be deceived. We really are. I don't know how you live this life without being a Christian. I don't know how you do it anymore. Look what's happening with this war with Iran. There are so many lies being told about that war, so much deception, and they're using AI videos to show things that aren't true. By the way, one of the ways you can know it's AI is if the person in the video has three arms. Pretty much not real. Just saying. But see, I don't know how people live in that world constantly of that kind of thing, and yet a lot of people are, and a lot of Christians are, which is really bad, honestly. So it's not, and look, the world is seeking right now what? It's seeking peace, right? So if somebody comes on the scene and promises peace and seemingly brings it, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to worship him. See, we as humans love to worship, don't we? But see, the problem with us is, if we're not saved, we worship the wrong things. Or the wrong people, too. There's only one person that we should worship, and his name is Jesus Christ. That's it. And so that's why this is going to be so evil, because this Antichrist is going to take the place of Christ. Now, back to Revelation 13. So, for lack of a better way to say it, guys, it's this fake or this faux resurrection. Then it says this. This is interesting. Verse 4. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? See, and where it says here in verse 4, who worshiped the dragon, see, this is what Satan has been waiting for. See, remember, Satan was an angel named Lucifer. He was an anointed cherub. Most feel he led worship in heaven. And see, when he began to do that, there was iniquity in him, and that this, he had pride. He wanted people to worship him instead of God. In fact, in Isaiah, it says that he wants to be like the Most High God. And so he's been seeking worship for all these years. And so he's finally going to get what he wants on a worldwide scale. They worship. See, that word for worship is going to be also used in verse 8 here. It means to bow down, to kneel down before as an act of reverence. See, that's worship. You know when you're worshiping something, if you bow down. It's one of the reasons why sometimes, guys, when we're praying to the Lord, what do? We get on our knees because we're paying homage to Jesus, right? We're paying homage to God, God the Father. And so in this case, people are going to bow down to the dragon and bow down to his world leader, the beast. It's going to happen. And then they're going to be crazy enough to say, who is like the beast? And who is able to make war with him? Like, if you read the Old Testament, especially the book of Isaiah, God will say, who is like me? There's no one like me. But think about how blasphemous what's being said here. Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? See, they're saying, no one is. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through the book of Isaiah. We just went through Isaiah 47. And in there, Babylon says, at one point, the nation of Babylon says, who is like us? If you get to that point in your life where you have that attitude of who is like me, you're in big trouble. You're in real big trouble. But yet I see it so many times. And if you're a Christian here this morning, that should not be in your vocabulary. See, if you're a Christian, you realize what Christ has done for you on the cross, and you should have a natural humility to that, because Christ died for me. Look what Christ did. I didn't do that. Christ did it. You see how that's supposed to work? Now, verse 5, and he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Now, this word was used in verse 1, blasphemies, blasphemous. This idea, what is it's vilication. What it means is the idea is blasphemous language expressing disrespect for God or something sacred. He's blaspheming. He's saying these blasphemous names or blasphemous things, like, for example, worship me, I'm God. Then it says he was given authority, that's exousia in the Greek, to continue for 42 months or 3.5 years. Remember, we've talked about this before. This period is 7 years. And the last 3.5 years is what's called the Great Tribulation. The whole period is called the Tribulation. It's Daniel's 70th week. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. It's when God is going to pour his wrath on a Christ-rejecting earth. He's going to deal with his nation of Israel again to bring them back to him. And anyone who has rejected Jesus as their Savior and is left here on this earth is going to deal with this judgment. Now, there will be people getting saved. See, God is always merciful in his judgment. He's going to send the 144,000. We talked about them before. We'll talk about them in a couple weeks in Revelation 14. He sent the two witnesses, too, as well. And so people will get saved, and we're going to talk about that in a few verses. People will get saved during this time, but can I tell you, it's going to be a very, very hard time to live in. Again, if you think it's hard to know what the truth is now, once the church is removed, what do you think is going to happen? Verse 6, then he opened his mouth, and in blasphemy against God, and to blaspheme his name. Now, when it says his name there, this is very interesting to me, guys. Literally what it's saying is he's blaspheming his name. The idea that name there means his character and his person. He is saying he's vilifying the name of God. He's vilifying the name of Jesus. Have you met somebody like that? Not a good place to be. His tabernacle, that's where God dwells in heaven, and those who dwell in heaven. Now, when he says those who dwell in heaven, who is he talking about? He's talking about the church. We're in heaven with Jesus. We're there with him. At this point in time, we're there with him. And so he's saying blasphemous things to God and to God, to the church. What's a blasphemous thing you could say? See, we think of we think of swearing, right? That's not what this is. Blasphemous thing could say, I just said earlier, you could worship me. Or... This wasn't a request to shout things out. But you could say, Jesus can't save you. Those Christians, they're the ones who do all this evil stuff in the world. By the way, if you've noticed lately, that's kind of becoming more of a thing, isn't it? Especially in our country. Verse 7, and it was granted to him to make war with the saints. And when he says saints there, the idea there is tribulation saints. That is the both Jew and Gentile who get saved during this tribulation time. So he's granted the power for these last 3.5 years to make war with them, to overcome them. To an authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Okay. So look, what is going on here? Well, this Antichrist, this beast, is being raised up as a world leader who's going to seemingly have all the answers and bring a world peace, a false peace. We learned that in Revelation 6. He's a rider on the white horse in Revelation 6. He's going to bring this false peace. And then something's going to happen where there's going to be an assassination attempt. There's going to be this fake resurrection. So all the more of them, people are going to begin to worship him and pay him homage. He's going to declare himself to be God. But what they don't realize is he's not a God you want to serve. He's going to start making war with people who are saved. He's going to start killing them. And we're going to learn all about his system next week with the false prophet. But listen, a great chapter in the Bible that gives wonderful commentary in these verses is 2 Thessalonians. So guess what I want you to do? Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, left-hand turn. Keep in mind, Paul is writing this to the church at Thessalonica. To the church of Thessalonica. And when he wrote this letter, when he first went to Thessalonica, he was only there 3 weeks. And yet he talked all about the end times with this church. So chapter 2, verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians says this. Now the brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus, that's the second coming, and are gathering together to him, that's the rapture, we ask you, do not be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if it was from us, as though the day of Christ had come. So you have to understand something. Paul would go into an area, plant a church, and then he would move on to the next town. And sometimes what would happen is when he would move on, you'd have these false teachers that would come in and try to confuse the church. And in this case, because he talked about these end time things, you had false teachers coming in telling them, oh, you guys missed it, by the way. You missed it. It's the day of the Lord now. So he wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians to say, no, you didn't miss it. Remember what I taught you. And that's why he says here, do not soon be shaken. That is, do not be distressed or be unsettled about these things. You know what I taught you is what he's getting at here. And he's going to review again what he taught them. Praise God that God put on his heart to write this down. This is wonderful. Now, he says this in verse 3, let no one deceive you. That is, let no one seduce you. Let no one lead you astray. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day of the Lord will not come unless the falling away comes first. Okay, the falling away, we've talked about this before. It's the apostasy. It's the departure from truth. We see a picture of that today, don't we? Look around you. The body of Christ as a whole is departing from truth more and more. One of the reasons they're departing from truth is they want to get people in their seats. They want to get people to come to church. And so they're departing from what's true in God's word. See, God's word, when you come to church every Sunday, some Sundays you're going to be encouraged. Some Sundays you're going to be convicted. Some Sundays you're going to be challenged. It's not going to be the same every Sunday. If you're going through the scripture, the Holy Spirit is good about illuminating things to our hearts and to our lives. And it's going to be different. And sometimes all three of the things can happen to different people that Sunday. So somebody here could be encouraged, another person could be convicted, etc. But you see what I'm getting at here. Then he goes on, he says, and the man of sin, spoiler alert, that's the Antichrist, revealed as the son of perdition or the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. Didn't we just say they're gonna worship the dragon and worship the beast who is like the beast? Above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple, just alluded to that a few minutes ago, of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Paul's saying, I told you this. I told you this. I told you the plan that God has. So why are you guys shaken about this? Let me ask the church this morning. You see a war going on. Why are you shaken about this? Is God still in control? Did God still lay out his plan? Do we know everything exactly how it's going to happen? No. But I know that if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So don't fret about this. But yet we do. See, guys, that's one of the ways we can witness to other people. If we're running around with a chicken, like a chicken with their head cut off at work, what do you think they're going to think about your faith? They're going to think it's not very strong. So why do we do that? Okay, I'm going to get in trouble. Stop listening to podcasts from certain influencers. Stop. Because they're lying. And they're stirring trouble up. See, whatever you take in as media, whether you watch it, you listen to it, whether you read it, it all be through the filter of Scripture. Years ago, there was a book written by a guy. It was called A Divine Revelation of Hell. And this person in the church I was going to at the time gave me this book to read. I read it. And what was funny is I read the book, and everything that they described hell wasn't what was in the Scripture. So you know what I did? I called the person out on it. I said, why'd you give me this book? I said, first of all, no one right now, according to Scripture, is in hell right now. No one's there. And Satan's not going to be in charge of hell. He's going to be tortured for eternity too with everybody who's rejected Jesus. So I'm confused. And their response to me is, well, I mean, you know, it just motivated me to share my faith with other people. Yeah, but it's not right. It's not accurate. Sorry, I'm one of those guys who loves accuracy. Sorry. Don't talk to me about movies sometimes because I ruin it. Because they'll do a movie about a real-life thing, and then I'll find out the real-life story, and I'm like, this is terrible. Why didn't they put the real-life stuff in? The story's better. But see, this is better. And see, look, first of all, Jesus is not going to take somebody to hell. Sorry, they're not. The only person that ever went to heaven was Paul, and that's in 2 Corinthians 12. Like, look, one of the marks of the last days is that there's going to be more confusion and deception. Do you see it? Don't be a part of it. One of the things I learned during COVID was to wait. When you see some kind of event and you see the news portray something, wait. Because the truth eventually will come out. But see, people will jump to conclusions. It's like what a political party will jump to conclusions about things and blame certain people and this and that. Look, most of the time we don't know. Now, I get it. It's getting much quicker now. We get our information much faster because we all have smartphones, right? We can live stream things, etc. However, wait. Just wait. And whatever you see, put it through the lens of Scripture. It's what's having a biblical worldview is. I have these glasses on. If I don't wear them, I can barely see what's in here. I can barely see it with just glasses on, too. But it's like you put this glasses on to look at everything through a biblical worldview so you see more clearly. But what can happen is we're shaken. We're disturbed. We're distressed. So I'm not going to put my glasses on with biblical worldview. I'm just going to be like, oh, my goodness, and let my emotions run wild and say, oh, no, it's going to get. And look, I hear Christians will say to me, it's getting bad out there. It's getting bad out there. Okay, but you should be rejoicing. Because God is in control, and he has a plan, and he always has a plan. Always. Never forget that. God's not up there going, I didn't know that was going to happen. I wish somebody would have told me that. Think about it. If he's all-knowing, right? He knows everything. So he knows when you're hiding under your bed and doing something you shouldn't be doing with your phone, he sees it. He's all-powerful. He can do anything. And he's everywhere. You can't hide from him. Read Psalm 139. Ask when I get to heaven, you can ask David about it. You can't hide from him. But here's my point. Don't be part of the deception. You got to be in the Word. I'm not telling you you have to be a theologian, but you got to be in the Word for yourself every day. Listen, you got to be in the Word because it washes you from your sin. You got to be in the Word because it tells you who God is. It tells you that God has a plan. It's encouragement. You understand what I'm trying to say to you here this morning. So again, verse 5 of 2 Thessalonians 2. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that we may be revealed in his, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. So this is this idea. There is something restraining this Antichrist from being revealed. Most commentators think that this restraining is the Holy Spirit through his church. Because once the church is removed, then he can be risen up as world leader, because no one's going to be there to say, no, that's not Jesus. That's the false Christ. So when we're out of the way, look, like I said, it's hard now with truth. Imagine when the church is gone. In fact, in 1 Timothy, I believe, we're called the pillar and ground of truth. Imagine when that pillar is gone. Now what? Craziness, chaos. Verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy him with the brightness of his coming. We'll get there in Revelation 19 eventually. But what we just read, God's going to destroy the Antichrist like that. So what are you fretting about? Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Remember, I just said there's going to be this assassination attempt, quote unquote, and this false resurrection. Lying signs and wonders. Why? To deceive people. To deceive them. Then he goes on. And with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not listen, they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Okay. You want an inoculation against all this deception? Receive the love of the truth. Receive the gospel. Receive it. Acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner and that Jesus died for you on the cross, that he bled, that he died and was buried and raised again. That is the gospel. We're going to celebrate that in a little bit with Resurrection Sunday. Receive it. See, you have to receive it. See, that's the issue. We don't want to receive it. And if you don't receive the love of the truth, you are going to be deceived, guys. You're going to be deceived. And you're maybe sitting here going, ah, you're crazy, man. You're crazy. Listen, I'll leave a key, go in my office, and then read my Bible when I'm gone, okay? Verse 11, and for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion. Wow. That they should believe the lie. And that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Look, the Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. How long does a season last? Not very long. For a season. See, in other words, what it's getting at is, I would rather be in my sin and enjoy the pleasure from the sin than receive the love of the truth. Even though I know that if I don't receive the love of the truth, I'm going to be deceived eventually. Does that make sense? But we do it. Now back to Revelation 13. I want to read something to you about this, verse 6. The blasphemies of the beast are further defined as against God's name and his heavenly tabernacle, and against those dwelling with him in heaven. Blaspheming God's name means he will speak against his nature, character, denying God's holiness, righteousness, faithfulness, love, mercy, and grace. You know, come on, there's not really just one way to heaven. There's many ways, because Buddha can save you too. Blasphemy the heavenly temple means that he will deny that God is manifesting his glory in the Holy of Holies of heaven. It also means that he will deny that the blood of Jesus Christ was presented before God once and for all as full atonement for our sins. Blasphemy those dwelling with him in heaven means he will defame the saints of all ages. He will mock their faithfulness to God and their dedication to his service. In other words, it was a waste of time. I'm really the Messiah. I mean, I'm speaking as if I'm the Antichrist, which I'm not. Don't worry. Listen, you got to be careful, because sometimes people watch live stream and they'll like tune in just for that second, and you're like, I'm not the Antichrist. I'm just making a point here. All of this blasphemy will be the climax of blasphemies inspired by the spirit of Antichrist that is already in the world. John's first and second epistles do not deny that there will be a future Antichrist, but they recognize that there are many Antichrists in the world already, all of whom deny Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. They include all the cults, as well as the self-styled liberals who deny what the Bible reveals about the divine human nature of Jesus. Now, he alluded to something here, and we've probably heard this. Have you guys ever heard of this term, the spirit of Antichrist? Okay, what does that mean exactly? Well, in the broad sense, we can say that with certainty that the spirit of Antichrist is already at work. This Antichrist spirit does everything it can to reject, deny, and undermine the truth about Jesus Christ. In fact, you're going to see this in the next couple weeks. You're going to see stories on CNN and on other news stations about how Jesus really wasn't divine, he was just a good teacher, or the in search of the historical Jesus, all those kind of nonsense stuff. I mean, since I've been a kid, they've been doing this for so long. So be prepared for it. The Spirit has been at work since the first century AD, actively opposing the work of Christ on the earth. See, actively opposing the work of Christ on the earth. Do you see that today? Are there things sometimes that people do and you're like, I don't understand, that makes no sense. Well, what's happening is there is a spirit behind what they're doing. There is a demonic influence in their life. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's anything that opposes Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to get trippy with you here, because there really is a spiritual realm, and the spiritual realm wants to destroy believers, wants to destroy you. It is a real thing. So when you get up in the morning as a believer, you have a battle between your flesh, the world system, and the devil. He wants to destroy you. See, Satan is bound for one place, guys. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said that hell, the eternal lake of fire, was designed or created for the devil and his angels, demons. But he wants you to come with him. It's like, you know, when you're on a ship and the ship is sinking and somebody wants to take everybody with them as they sink. That's the idea. So therefore, they were not surprised by opposition to Christianity, persecution, even martyrdom. They were convinced that the spiritual war between Christ and Antichrist had begun. This is the spirit of Antichrist. To deny the true Jesus is the basis of the spirit of Antichrist. To deny the true Jesus, it is the spirit which both opposes the true Jesus and offers a substitute Jesus. Listen, Jehovah's Witnesses have a different Jesus. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Mormons have a different Jesus. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Cults, remember Jim Jones? It's a different Jesus. It's not the real Jesus. It's a spirit of Antichrist. The devil doesn't care at all if you know Jesus or love Jesus or pray to Jesus. Listen to this. As long as it is a false Jesus, a make-believe Jesus, a Jesus who's not there and who therefore cannot save. And that is the point. Remember, we just read, he's going to speak blasphemy against God. God can't save you. I can. Again, if you're watching on the internet, I'm saying this is the Antichrist saying this. Another late Sunday. Let's keep going. So Revelation 13:8. So, and those who dwell on the earth, and I've said this before, depending on your translation, when it says those who dwell on the earth or earth dwellers, they're talking about people who are unbelievers on the earth during this time. Listen to what it says. And all who dwell on the earth will what? Will worship him. Will bow the knee to him. Whose names have not been written in the book of life. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. How do you know if your name is written in the book of life? Get saved today. That's how you know. Get saved. Now, verse 9. Listen to this. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Now, this is interesting because we were back in Revelation chapter 2, way back when, months ago. And remember how these letters to the seven churches was always end with, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What is it missing here? It says to the churches. Why? Because the church isn't here right now. It's in heaven. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. And when that phrase is said, it means, are you going to listen to what I'm about to say? Verse 10, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience or perseverance in the faith of the saints. So what is he talking about? Well, again, a lot of opinion here about what is being said here. Let me read something to you. Those who lead others into captivity will be led captive themselves. Whoever kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. The law of sowing and reaping. Have you heard of sowing and reaping? Okay, what does it mean? You sow, like if you're a farmer, you sow seed in the ground, and then eventually it grows into some kind of crop, and then you come and reap it, you come and harvest it. That law of sowing and reaping is undefeated. It always works. A little bit more about that in a second. This law of sowing and reaping will not be abrogated, and the forces of Satan and the beast will not be able to escape it. The agents of the beast who capture and kill those who refuse the mark of the beast, we'll talk about that next week, will they themselves be defeated? As Revelation 19:15 shows, there is a greater sword, that's God's word, that's literally Jesus, the word of God coming out of Jesus' mouth, the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the living God. Jesus will destroy the Antichrist and all his forces with the sword of his mouth, we just talked about a few minutes ago. That is, by simply speaking the word, these words are a reminder of this. They are also given to encourage believers' faith and trust in the Lord to help them endure with patience and steadfastness. So in other words, this beast and the people who are going to work for him eventually will be judged. If they kill with the sword, they themselves are going to be destroyed. That's what he's talking about here. And when he says here at the end of verse 10, it says, here is patience and faith of the saints. Again, he's talking about the tribulation saints. Those people who are still here on this earth who get saved during this time. That's who he's talking about here. This is some heavy stuff, isn't it? But one thing I don't want us to miss on a very practical level. Don't allow yourself to be deceived. Don't allow yourself to be deceived. Don't allow yourself to be deceived about this book. This book is living and active. This book is real. This book is absolute truth. You want to know what the absolute truth is? Read this book. Look, if you want your life to change, read the Bible. Seriously. It's not that complicated. Christianity is really not that complicated. We make it complicated because we're humans, but it's not that complicated. Don't allow yourself to be deceived. Here's a good one here now that's happening now. And please don't take this the wrong way, but you don't have to come to church. You know, listen, I'm spiritual and I believe in Jesus. I don't go to church. Can I tell you, if you're really a blood-bought Christian, you're going to want to come to church because you're going to want to spend time with other believers. There's nothing like it. Yeah, I know. You might have people that rub you the wrong way. I get it. You have to spend eternity with them, so just get used to it. But seriously, that's a lie too. That's deception as well. We don't need each other. We do need each other. We do need each other. Don't allow yourself to be deceived by these things. Listen, if you're listening to podcasts more than you're reading the Bible, you're in trouble. I'm just going to tell you that right away. And listen, you can couch it with saying, well, I'm trying to stay updated with current events, or, you know, you can, whatever. Here's the thing. If you're listening to stuff, if you're watching things online and it's spending more time doing that than you are reading the Word, you need to stop. And you need to change that. And you start reading the Word more and allow God to speak to you, because God has things to say to you personally. Again, if we know that God is in control of all these things in the world, why are we fretting about it? Yeah, I get it. I want to live in a country too an American country. I'm not opposed to America. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But here's the issue. If that becomes my only goal in life, then I have my priorities messed up. They're messed up. And our politicians are just politicians. They're not Savior. There's one Savior. His name is Jesus. And he has a plan. And he has the word. And he wants to change your life. Amen? Amen. All right, we'll stop here. Next week, tell you, it's worth coming. Trust me. Read ahead. We're going to talk about the false prophet next week. If you're here this morning and you don't know who Jesus Christ is, may I strongly urge that you get saved. So I'm gonna do something a little different. If that's you, after the service, come up and see me, and I'll pray with you, okay? But for the rest of us who do know him, let's pray. Father, we come before you once again this morning, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your scripture. Lord, we thank you that this was written down for our learning, so that, Lord, we would know what's going to happen. We know that we have an enemy of our soul who wants to destroy us, who wants to rob, kill, and destroy. We know it. Lord, we're sorry when we allow ourselves to get swept up into his deception. Lord, would you forgive us? And Lord, would you give us a hunger for your word and a thirst for your righteousness? Lord, would we keep our eyes on you? Oh, Lord, we know when we look out into this culture today, when you look out to this world, there are all kinds of crazy things going on, things that don't even make sense. But Lord, you're still on the throne. You're all powerful and you're all knowing. So Lord, you know our struggles. You know everything. And yet, Lord, you're there with your hand extended, wanting to help us. So Lord, I pray that we would take your hand and allow you to help us, allow you to change us. And Lord, give us discernment in these days. Help us not to waste our time, Lord, on things that don't benefit us, that don't edify you. It's amazing, Lord, as Christians, how we will listen to things that are slanderous, and yet we will justify it. Lord, would we listen to you? Would we read your word? Would you give us ears to hear your voice through your scripture? Lord, I know you want to talk to us. So would you please talk to us, Lord, this morning? And again, forgive us for getting swept up into this deception. We know that the enemy is real, and we want to follow you all the days of our life. Thank you, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.